2 weeks ago, I had the privilege and the honor of marrying a couple at Chico Hot Springs. Sometimes ministers get the tough work. Only a few family members and friends were in attendance, so I had a chance to meet and chat with most of them. After the ceremony was over, while family photos were being taken, I had a conversation with a fellow who said that he had never heard of Unitarian Universalism. That's something I've heard more people say than I can count. Because I had a considerable experience in such situations, I anticipated the next question. A question I would guess a good number of you have been asked as well. So, what do Unitarian Universalists believe? How many of you have heard that question?
No.
Okay. Figured some of you had. Those of you who have had such a question presented to you know that it can be difficult to answer in an accurate and meaningful way. Unitarian Universalism is difficult, if not impossible, to explain in a 60-second soundbite. I paused, took a deep breath, realizing that the assumption underlying this fellow's question meant that what I was about to say might not fit neatly into his understanding of what is essential or foundational to our religious tradition. I began my answer by informing him that holding a common belief or professing a specific creed isn't necessary for a person to be a Unitarian Universalist. I could tell by the questioning look on his face that I was correct. This wasn't fitting well within his understanding of a religious organization. I then shared with him that Unitarian Universalism, that within Unitarian Universalism, people who hold a wide range of beliefs come together to worship and work together as they strive to honor and respect one another and seek to make the world a better place for all. The questioning look on his face intensified. So I decided to try an approach that I thought might be part of his mental framework. I told him that Unitarian Universalism is a covenantal faith, not a creedal faith. And covenant was the original basis of the Jewish and Christian religious traditions. I mentioned the covenants that God made with Noah and Abraham, hoping that this would match up with his perspective. I let him know that what matters more than belief in Unitarian Universalism is how people agree to be with one another and how we strive to live our lives. His matter-of-fact response was, "Oh, so you're a social club." A question immediately popped into my mind. Did this fellow also view the marriage that just took place to be nothing more than a social club? Certainly. The covenant that these two people had just made with one another was more important than whether all or even most of the beliefs they had were the same. Thankfully, my discernment prevailed that afternoon, and the question remained unspoken. Our discussion eventually came to an end, and I left feeling disappointed that my attempt at answering his question hadn't been successful in the way that I had hoped. Later, I wondered if it might have been better for me to respond to his question with a quote by the 16th century Unitarian Francis David. David asserted that we don't have to believe alike to love alike. As I'm sure all of you here are well aware, we do not all believe alike. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful that common belief is not the foundation of our religious tradition. In my estimation, if we all had to share a common belief in order to be in religious community together, our ability to learn, to grow, and to thrive would be seriously compromised. I'm also grateful to our religious forebears who had the wisdom to recognize that common belief was not and is not a sufficient foundation for a religious community or organization. In particular, I'm referring to the forebears who gathered in a meeting house in Cambridge, Massachusetts in August of 1648. That's a long time ago. This was a gathering of elected lay and ministerial officers from across New England. These elected officers worked to create a document that laid out what they perceived to be the most important thing to both the organization and good functioning of religious communities. That document is known as the Cambridge Platform. Those in attendance affirmed a commitment to make covenant the preeminent factor in the organization of the church. Here's a short statement from that platform. The comparing of each particular church to a city and to a spouse seems to conclude not only a form, but that form is by way of a covenant. The covenant, as it was, that which made the family of Abraham and children of Israel to be a church. This voluntary agreement, consent, or covenant, for all these are taken for the same, puts us in mind of our mutual duty and stirs us up to it. This voluntary agreement, consent, or covenant, for all these are taken for the same, continues to be what our UU faith tradition is based and built upon. To see this, all you need to do is look to the sentence that precedes the list of our seven UU principles and purposes. That sentence states, "We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote." I notice, though, that on the back of our order of service, where our seven principles are listed, some of the words from that sentence are present, but some are missing. Covenant is missing. This makes me wonder, what is the reason that it may be omitted? Now, I'm aware that the word covenant has connotations which leave some people feeling uneasy. It is my hope that we can find a way to move beyond the restrictive concepts of covenant, which may be uncomfortable to some. My hope is that we can come to view covenant the way the authors of the Cambridge Platform did, as a voluntary agreement, consent, or covenant. For all these are taken for the same. We are, after all, each here voluntarily, and we each agree and consent to work and worship together. In the introduction to the contemporary reader's edition of the Cambridge Platform, the Unitarian Universalist minister Alice Blair Wesley writes the following. These Congregationalists understood the Bible to be mainly about the free and covenanted social practice of love. As they understood church history, the substance of a free church has always been the same: the Holy Spirit of mutual love. She goes on to state, "The one end of everything the gathered members do," says the platform, "is edification. That is, mutual learning and teaching concerning the many and complex ways of love. And who among us has learned all there is about the many and complex ways of love?" In our story for all ages this morning, it was evident that Dionysius had a considerable amount to learn about love. The love that was the friendship bond between Damon and Pythias both baffled and amazed him. It opened his eyes to a new way of perceiving others and the world around him. The many and complex ways of love is what makes covenant such an important element of our faith tradition. Love is not a belief and cannot be fully contained within the mental construct of belief. Love is an emotion, an experience, something that involves not only the head, but the heart and the body as well. And when love includes another person, it involves agreements and commitments. Here is where covenant demonstrates what it is capable of and what it offers us. Unlike creed, covenant cannot be simply written, remembered, and recited. Covenant, like the love between two people, is mutually created and consented to. It is lived out on a day-to-day basis, and it calls us to continually reassess and reconfirm our bond to and with another. To stay alive, it must grow and change. Covenant, like love, requires attention, intention, and ongoing practice to stay vibrant and meaningful. Covenant, like love, provides an ongoing, ever-deepening means to discover truth and meaning within our lives. Covenant is something that provides us with a foundation to build on in an infinite number of ways and forms. Adherence to a particular belief, on the other hand, restricts what can be explored, discovered, and created. At this point, you're hopefully getting a sense of the importance the concept of covenant holds for our faith tradition. Covenant isn't, however, just significant to our history and to our national association. I would assert that covenant is important and possibly even essential to this congregation and each one of us. As I say this, I recall what we heard from James Luther Adams about the perspective of his professor, Dr. Richard C. Cabot. Here I quote Adams. He summed up the good life then in these three propositions. The good life is to make agreements, to keep agreements, and to revise or improve agreements in view of new situations. Dr. Cabot's third proposition seems to me to be very relevant to the situation this congregation is currently in. With the recent acquisition of a church building of its own, as well as a change in minister, it would seem that this could be a very appropriate time for this congregation to revise or improve agreements in view of these new situations. I think it would be safe to say that all of us would hope to live a good life. If Dr. Cabot is correct, the agreements we make, keep, and revise or improve are the path to achieving what it is that we hope for. I would suggest that we look to the words of our forebears who wrote the Cambridge Platform as we think about the idea of covenant. For them, agreement, consent, or covenant are taken for the same. With this concept of covenant in mind, I will be asking us to consider the agreements, the covenants that we have with one another. I will be inviting groups of people such as the board, committees, working groups, and task forces to put their agreements into spoken and or written words. I will encourage us to look to the agreements we enter into as guides that will assist us along the sometimes challenging experience of walking, working, and worshiping together in, as Alice Blair Wesley states it, the spirit of mutual love. I believe that walking, working, and worshiping together in such a manner is an endeavor that is worthy. In my estimation, it is the agreements we make, keep, and revise or improve that makes us more than just a social club. In covenant together, we are a vibrant, growing, and continually evolving religious community. So it is, and blessed be.